Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, May 30th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, the Hamidou Diallo drama brings out both the best and worst of the Big Blue Nation. If you're still pissed off at the ref from the North Carolina-Kentucky basketball game in March, you might want to change your name or skip town, or both. The betting lines are out on a couple of UK football games this fall, and they both pique our interests. Tiger Woods, it's not as bad as you think. The Reds absolutely get shellacked north of the border. The best player in baseball is done for 2 months. A three-time World Series champion this decade shows their true colors. One NFL owner tells us what we already know about Colin Kaepernick. Oh, by the way, the NBA Finals start Thursday. What's the rush? Enos Kanter, terrorist. And we pick a big underdog in Major League Baseball for Tuesday night. So let's go.
You are listening live.
After taking a few days off for the Memorial Day holiday, we come back with Hamidou Diallo declaring that he will not enter the NBA draft and will stay at Kentucky. And of course, the deadline for this was midnight last week, and he announces it about 3 minutes before midnight. Obviously playing this to the hilt, obviously coming out and saying, I want all the attention I could get. And yes, if you looked on Twitter that night, you could see everybody panicking, wondering what was going to happen, people saying they were staying up all night just to hear this news. And by the way, if you're one of those people, you need serious mental help. Because the decision of an 18-year-old kid should not be keeping you up past your bedtime, especially if you live in the real world and have to get up and go to a job the next morning. And of course, there was everyone reporting that they knew, and people making up fake Twitter accounts saying that he's staying, he's going, inciting Big Blue Nation as only social media snark can. But when it's all said and done, Hamidou Diallo back in Kentucky, and all is well with Big Blue Nation, who celebrated it like they had just won a national championship, although, let's just be honest, nobody has seen Hamidou Diallo play. That's what bothers me the most. There's not one fan in Big Blue Nation that's ever seen Hamidou Diallo play. But everybody swears he's the greatest, and he's gonna lead them to the national championship. That's what's so inherently wrong with fandom today. You put all these unrealistic expectations on these 17, 18-year-old kids, and if they can't produce, Scalabissiere, they're treated like dirt. How many Wenyan Gabriel fans are there out there right now in Big Blue Nation? Not many. You know why? Because he came to Lexington with all these expectations, and let's just face it, he didn't live up to them. And to be honest, it's tough to live up to the expectations that these players come in here with. It's crazy. Nobody can do it. People consider Malik Monk a disappointment, and he was a third-team All-American. That's the world we live in, ladies and gentlemen. Get used to it. But whether Diallo had come back this year or not come back this year, Kentucky was still going to be a top 10 team. I looked at 7 polls this morning, preseason rankings, now that all these players have declared whether they're going pro or not going pro. At all 7 polls, Kentucky ranked either from number 1 to number 6 in the preseason. It's the same as it ever was. Kentucky's a top 10 team next year, no matter what. And under this current system, as long as Calipari is coaching, they're always going to be in the top 10, and they're always going to be in the discussion for a Final Four or a national championship. So when I hear these recruits declaring to go to Kentucky or not declaring to go to Kentucky, it doesn't matter. Because if one kid doesn't go, another kid will. It's just become a conveyor belt of first-round draft picks. And oh, by the way, Kentucky's going to have another 2, maybe 3 in the NBA draft in a few weeks. And you know what? Next year, they'll have another 2 or 3 guys drafted. So Diallo coming back to Kentucky doesn't mean a whole hell of a lot in the big picture, the big scope of things. And that's what we look at here at the Bottom Line. We don't care about the minutiae. We don't investigate recruiting and speculate where some 17-year-old kid is going to go now that he's cut his list down to 5 potential schools. That's crap. And that's for the losers in the world, the mouth breathers in the world, the guys that live in their parents' basement in their 50s, sit around and talk about. Not us. We live in big boy world. Hamidou Diallo's back in Kentucky. Good for them. They were still going to be good with or without it.
Diamonds are forever, and so are the Four Horsemen.
By the way, it seems like forever now since Kentucky lost to North Carolina in the Elite Eight of the NCAA tournament. John Higgins was the referee that allegedly screwed Kentucky in that game. And after that game, there were many people going on his social media sites, including his business site on Facebook, and leaving him threatening messages. Well, I hope you people are proud of yourselves, because now there have been 7 people identified as people making threats towards John Higgins, and they could be brought up on charges. I'm just shocked that they didn't release the names of those 7 people who had been ID'd as threatening the referee John Higgins. Something tells me that list will come out soon enough, but just a fair warning, if you did go on John Higgins' Facebook page and make threats, you might want to turn off your internet for a little while. Or you might want to go into some kind of name-changing process. Every high school sitcom has the episode where the kids get fake IDs. You might want to do that too.
Okay, the answer there, skinny women can do this for you. Doug.
What is not a damn thing? Yeah.
Kentucky football. Some betting lines have already come out for next year's quote-unquote big games in college football, and a couple of them involve Kentucky. We saw that the Kentucky-Louisville game, which will be played in Lexington next November 25th, Louisville is already an 8.5-point favorite in this game. That's a lot of credit given to Lamar Jackson and Bobby Petrino over Mark Stoops and whoever the Kentucky quarterback will be by November 25th, because, in my opinion, there's probably a 50% chance or higher that it won't be Steven Johnson by that time. But that's another story for later on in the summer. I guess the odds makers obviously must be factoring in a little bit of revenge factor with Louisville as well. The other line that I saw that really caught my eye, October 28th, which is kind of early for this game, Tennessee will be traveling here to Lexington, and that game is a pick'em right now. Tennessee, of course, led by the genius Butch Jones, probably one of the few matchups throughout the SEC season where you can say, wow, Kentucky has an advantage on the sidelines. And Tennessee losing their quarterback, Josh Dobbs. They'll start with a new quarterback this year. But to see Tennessee and Kentucky as a pick'em in football really is something that makes you raise your eyebrows. Is this more of Tennessee falling, or is this more of Kentucky rising? Well, in the oddsmakers' views, it's got to be a little bit of both. But in my eyes, it's definitely Tennessee falling. Somewhere, the great pumpkin himself, Phil Fulmer, still thinks he can outcoach anybody that Tennessee can bring in. And you know what, at this point, with the guys that they've brought into Knoxville since him, like Derek Dooley and this guy, Butch Jones, I don't think he's completely wrong. Then again, they did have Lane Kiffin for a year, but I digress. But anyway, October 28th, Tennessee and Kentucky, a pick'em. If you ask me to put my money on this one, I'm sorry, man. It's Tennessee. But to see that line, that speaks volumes for both how far Tennessee has fallen and how the stock of Kentucky football has risen since the beginning of last October.
Okay, the answer there, they out here saying that every vote counts. Oh, Doug again.
What is, come on, they already decided who wins even before it happens.
Yes! Yes!
Memorial Day weekend dominated by the news that Tiger Woods was pulled over for a DUI. And of course, all the talking heads start in on their Tiger's done, he's a lost soul, this is rock bottom, blah, blah, blah. Okay, he made a mistake. He got a DUI. I'm sorry to say it, people get DUIs every day. Whether he was drunk or mixed up his meds, as now he's claiming, whatever. Who cares? Be honest, have you really never gotten behind a wheel after a couple of drinks, after maybe you had taken some meds? Really, never have. So for all these people who think Tiger Woods is at the end of the line, just slow your roll a little bit. The guy got a DUI. And yes, I know there have been lots of people in the world who were killed from drunk drivers. And yes, he did make a mistake. But to sit here and talk about this guy like his life is over and that he's just a pathetic mess, let's not get carried away. Dude still got gazillions of dollars in the bank. The only two things he doesn't have anymore, his family and his career. Then again, maybe that is too much for a guy like Tiger. Nevertheless, don't go around calling this guy a lost soul. Dude's got issues, we all do. But don't talk about this guy like he's done. Something tells me in the next few days he'll come out and do a little press conference, admit he made a mistake, and says it's not going to happen again. That's who Tiger is. Just because he hasn't won golf tournaments lately doesn't mean his life is over and he's turned to a life of drugs.
Stay tuned for all the excitement of the world champion Cincinnati Reds. Reds Radio is produced solely by the broadcast department of the Cincinnati Reds Incorporated.
The Reds lost a bitterly close game to the Blue Jays last night, 17-2 in Canada. Bonilla started the game for the Reds. Why is he even pitching? He and his little blonde ponytail, I don't even know what that is, but it's stupid, and it looks really stupid when you give up 6 runs in 2 1/3 innings, and your ERA is now 7.71. Enter Robert Stevenson, who hadn't pitched in 8 days, and of course, he gives up 6 runs himself in 2 innings, his ERA now 8.03. Add that along with Jake Buchanan, just picked up off the waiver wire, and this was the first time since 1929 that two relief pitchers had given up 10 or more hits in the same game for the same team. 1929, ladies and gentlemen. Props to that Reds bullpen. But then again, how can you fault the Reds bullpen? These starting pitchers are horrible. The starting pitching has the worst ERA in all of Major League Baseball, and they've given up the most home runs in the league. And oh yeah, they've pitched the fewest innings of any rotation in the league. So don't sit there and tell me this is on the bullpen. Unlike last year, where the starting pitching was bad, but the bullpen was the worst in history? It's the exact opposite this year. The bullpen isn't horrible this year, but the starting pitching is the worst. Oh, but good news ahead for that starting rotation. Homer Bailey threw 2 innings of extended spring training out in Arizona over the weekend to hopefully return to the Reds rotation by the end of the season. If you're Homer Bailey and they still owe you $68 million, are you really in a big rush to get back? Are you really trying as hard as you can to get back on this team? Especially when A, you get paid just as much money, whether you're pitching every 5 days or whether you're sitting out in Arizona doing nothing all day. Yeah, something tells me old Homer isn't really busting his butt to get back with the Reds, if you know what I mean. So don't sit there and blame this bullpen like you did last year. This starting rotation is god-awful. They have guys, Bonilla, Arroyo, who shouldn't even be thrown out there every 5 days. When your opening day starter, and easily your best starter so far this year, is Scott Feldman, there's something inherently wrong with your team. There just is. But the Reds blow another one in Joey Votto's triumphant return back to Canada. Votto once said that he dreamed of playing for the Blue Jays, but says those dreams are now gone. Yeah, they're probably gone because the Blue Jays suck these days, but then again, so do the Reds, so who cares? Adam Duvall, his 14th home run of the year last night, 5th in 5 days, one behind National League leader Scott Schebler, who has 15 home runs. Talk about trades. We always talk about these trades. We always look at the bad trades. I harp a lot on the Encarnacion for Scott Rowland deal with these same Blue Jays back in 2009, how horrible a deal that was. But with these Reds fire sales of late, they've actually picked up some good players. Remember Todd Frazier, the third baseman, the home run derby champion from a couple of years ago? Well, since he's gotten traded to the White Sox, last year he hit .225 with 40 home runs. So in other words, he's basically hitting home runs or nothing with the White Sox last year. This year, he has 5 home runs, hitting .182. And oh, by the way, the last 2 years, Frazier has earned $20 million in salary. Who did the Reds get back for him? Scott Schebler and Jose Peraza, 2 full-time players, one of which is leading the National League in home runs right now, and they're paying them both a combined just over $1 million for the 2017 season. Advantage Reds. They traded Mike Leake a few years ago. They got Adam Duvall. When they traded Johnny Cueto a couple of years ago, they got Brandon Finnegan and Cody Reed, guys that they thought would be great starting pitchers. Hasn't turned out that way, but maybe they find something going forward. So the Reds are actually getting something for these trades. Maybe not Aroldis Chapman, but that was a panic trade due to the fact that he allegedly beat up his girlfriend. When the Yankees went out and flipped Aroldis Chapman and made a huge profit, advantage Yankees. But who cares about that at this point? Bottom line is, the Reds are making some money off these deals. Getting Jose Peraza, Adam Duvall, Scott Schebler, 3 full-time players of their 8 regulars. The only problem is, they don't have any starting pitchers to speak of. And that's why this team is losing and will continue losing for the foreseeable future. Reds and Blue Jays tonight. Speaking of starting pitchers, Asher Wojciechowski will be starting for the Reds tonight. 2.25 ERA. And why wouldn't he? He had 5 starts in AAA Louisville this year. 1.40 in those starts. Not bad. Former first round pick of Toronto back in 2010. Blue Jays 24-27. This team started out 8-17, and now they're getting back to close to 500. Jay Happ, 4.50, will start for the Jays. However, this is his first start since April 16th. He's been on the disabled list. I think there's a lot of value in the Reds tonight if you are so inclined. The Jays this year, 9-10 is a home favorite. That's not good at all. In games you're supposed to win, they have a losing record. And although this team has won 6 of their last 7, Jay Happ, career 5.44 against the Reds, and Joey Votto lights this guy up, 8-21 lifetime. The Reds, not a bad proposition on the road. They're 10-13, which means they're making you money because they're an underdog all the time. And overall, the Reds 17-20 as an underdog. So if you've bet the Reds every game they've played this year as an underdog, you've made a nice little profit. Lots of value on the Reds tonight. The Reds anywhere from a plus 165 to plus 170, basically because of name recognition of starting pitchers and the fact Toronto won last night's game by 15 runs. We'll take the Reds tonight, just getting too much value, although your starting pitcher is unproven. At least I'm getting more pedigree with him than I am with guys like Bonilla, Cody Reed, Rookie Davis, Bronson Arroyo, and the whole Hee-Haw gang. Give us the Reds tonight over the Jays in a value pick.
Okay, the answer, they out here saying the new iPhone wants your thumbprint for your protection. Oh, okay then, Doug. Well,
what is, I don't think so. That's how they get you.
Yes!
By the way, happy birthday, Eric Davis, who the former Red, 55 years old today. Wow, you want to feel old? Eric Davis is 55 years old. Pete Rose said that Eric Davis was the most talented player he ever saw in his life. And Pete Rose saw a lot of great players in his day, no doubt. I remember as a kid growing up watching this guy and thinking he would be the greatest player ever. I remember he got called up. He started the season as the leadoff hitter for the Reds in both 1984 and 1985. And within 2 or 3 weeks both years, he got sent to the minor leagues because he was striking out pretty much every time he came to the plate. But in 1986, Eric Davis, 27 home runs, 80 stolen bases. Who gets 80 stolen bases these days? Billy Hamilton doesn't even breathe close to 80 stolen bases. Then in 1987, this was Davis's best year easily. 37 home runs, 100 RBIs, and 50 stolen bases. 3 home runs shy of the 40-40 club, which had never been done at that point. Jose Canseco the next year became the first to do it. But after the 1991 season, the writing was on the wall. Eric Davis injured himself in the 1990 World Series, making a diving catch in the final game that clinched the World Series for the Reds. He went to the hospital. He did not get to celebrate the World Series with his team. He was in the hospital when they won it. And not only did he miss the team flight home and the parade and all that stuff, but he had to pay his own airfare to get back to Cincinnati because Marge wouldn't spend the money to get him a flight. Wow, that's hardcore right there. No wonder Eric Davis won it out. And after the 91 season, Davis was traded to the Dodgers for Tim Belcher, a journeyman pitcher, and a guy named John Wetland, who went on to become the 1996 World Series MVP with the Yankees. Wetland never pitched a game for the Reds because the Reds flipped him for 3 guys you never heard of. And the Reds haven't won a World Series since. Just saying. But Eric Davis, he only hit 282 career home runs, 203 of them with the Reds. You just always thought he'd be better than what he was. But if you look at his numbers, you forget this guy was really good, although in a short period of time.
Okay, the answer. The mechanic says you owe $250 for new brake lines. Doug.
Well, what is, you better go to that dude in my neighborhood who'll fix anything for $40.
Why, well, you know Cecil?
Yeah, but my Cecil's name is Jim, and it fixed my refrigerator, my air conditioner, and my cat.
Yeah, yeah, everybody's got a guy. Well, you all right, Doug.
More Major League Baseball news. Mike Trout of the Angels just killed a bunch of fantasy baseball teams in America because now he is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a thumb injury. 2-time AL MVP, and if you look at the numbers, it should be 5 times, but I've argued that on this show before. This year, he's hitting .337, 16 home runs, 36 RBIs, 10 steals on a team that was 26-27 entering last night. You don't think this guy's the MVP? Watch this team the next 2 months without him. Watch how quickly this team drops to the basement.
Okay, and the answer, your job wants to take $40 a month out of your check for a 401k. Shanice.
What it is, you better give me that money so I can buy me some scratch-offs.
Yeah, you damn right. You damn right. I mean, why do I need a retirement plan when I got Monopoly Millionaires Club?
Yeah. Heck, I play that every week.
Yeah, well, that's good for you.
Big news in baseball yesterday. Hunter Strickland, a relief pitcher for the Giants, faced Bryce Harper. It was the first time they had faced each other in 3 years. And 3 years ago, they met in the playoffs, in which Bryce Harper hit not one but two home runs off of Hunter Strickland. And the second time, he stared at Hunter Strickland all the way around the bases. And as we all know, baseball players bitter to the end. They never forget. 3 years later, first pitch, Hunter Strickland hits Bryce Harper, and we're playing the feud. But the most noticeable part of this brawl was the fact that Strickland's catcher, Buster Posey, didn't move a muscle to break this up. In fact, there's a snapshot where Posey is still standing behind home plate while the umpires and several players from both dugouts are already out on the field to try to break it up, and Posey hasn't moved an inch. And when he was asked about it after the game, Posey said, "Well, there's a lot of big men out there, and I didn't want to get hurt." Huh. A lot of people say Buster Posey is the biggest reason the Giants won 3 World Series in this decade. I tend to disagree, but I'm in the minority. But whether you agree with your pitcher or not, the fact that he just stood there and watched everything happen, that speaks volumes. And I just wonder today how much backlash he's getting within his own team. Who cares what the media says? What about his teammates? What about his pitcher, Hunter Strickland, who thought maybe he'd get some help from Posey and he didn't move a muscle for him? Makes you wonder what's going on in that clubhouse, especially with a Giants team that's already in last place to begin with. Something tells me this will just be a lost year in San Francisco.
They are inspecting Phil Niekro and saying he's either loading up the baseball or something, and Tom Kelly's really getting into it.
They're checking him all over. I've never seen him do a search like this, quite like this before. He's out of there.
He's been kicked out of the game.
Aaron Judge of the Yankees hit his 17th home run yesterday, putting him on pace to finish with over 50 for the season. Now, if you think he's going to finish with over 50 home runs, God bless you. We're going to say he finishes in the 30s. But if you look at these major league leaders in home runs, Aaron Judge, Scott Schebler, Eric Thames, who saw some of these guys before the season started leading the major leagues in home runs? I didn't see any of these guys leading the league in home runs. Heck, they were talking like Scott Schebler was going to be a strictly platoon guy for the Reds. And if you watch him against left-handers even today, you see why. So props to you if you have any of these guys on your fantasy teams, because believe me, there's a reason why these guys weren't drafted in the top 100 or so picks in any fantasy draft this year. Nobody saw this coming.
I wish you guys nothing but best. The ceiling is the roof. Let's make it happen.
Erasmo Ramirez is a relief pitcher for the Tampa Bay Rays. On Sunday, he got the save in an extra inning game against Minnesota for Tampa Bay. And then on Monday, he started a game for Tampa Bay against Texas. And this was the first time since 1984 that a player had gotten a save in one game and then started the next game the next day. That player in 1984 was Steve Farr of the Cleveland Indians. Of course, we all remember Steve Farr. Well, I don't, but maybe you do. God bless you if you do. And of course, Ramirez yesterday goes 2 1/3 innings and gives up 4 runs because, oh well, he had pitched the day before, gotten a save. So to run him out there as a starter the next day, probably not the best thing to do if you're the Tampa Bay Rays. But then again, you're the Tampa Bay Rays and you do all kinds of crazy stuff anyway, so who cares? And speaking of crazy, we will have our big underdog in Major League Baseball for Tuesday night later in the show. The NBA! In case you missed it, the NBA Finals will be starting this Thursday. Of course, I don't think they've played for a couple of weeks, so, you know, what's the rush? Plenty of stories to talk about in the seemingly month and a half between the conference finals and the finals. The big news today is that Mike Brown of Golden State has the flu. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin Love was asked about being in the underdog status, and he goes, "I don't know what an underdog is. We're not the underdog. We're still the champions." He has a point, but maybe he shouldn't say it like that. Golden State, a big favorite in this series, shocking considering they lost it last year, but the kiss of death for any series is Stephen A. Smith, who is correctly predicted the loser of the NBA Finals every year on ESPN since 2010. Now, he hasn't correctly picked the loser. He's actually picked that team to win. It's just every team he's picked to win the NBA Finals has unfortunately lost. So you talk about FTP. We like to fade the public here on this show. Fade Stephen A. Smith. Whoever he picks, go against in the NBA Finals. And the word has it, he has picked the Warriors in seven, which means go all in on Cleveland.
I've had more belts than most people have shoes. I've had clothes, cars, diamond rings, watches, houses, women galore.
Enes Kanter is a terrorist. That's what the Turkish president wants you to believe, because he was detained last week in Turkey before finally escaping back to America. But now there's an arrest warrant out for Enes Kanter for apparently just talking bad about the Turkish president and the Turkish government. And now they've made up some contrived charge that he is a terrorist in Turkey. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. The world really hasn't changed that much, has it? We like to think it has, but it really hasn't. The NFL. New York Giants owner John Mara told everybody basically what we already knew by saying that Colin Kaepernick is not being signed because of a fear for public backlash, and even went so far as to say he can't sign it for the Giants because New York is a city firmly based in belief of the American flag. Now, whether John Mara is right or not remains to be seen. He does make a good point. I don't disagree with what he said, but you can't come out as an owner of an NFL team and say these things, especially when we already know it to begin with. Colin Kaepernick should be on an NFL team. It's just that no team has the cojones to sign him because of what John Mara said. Fear of public backlash. Because there will be backlash. Any team that signs this guy, I still think he's a perfect fit for Pete Carroll in Seattle. I think that's where he'll end up, because the media won't be nearly as harsh on him in Seattle as they would be in a place like New York City.
John, be careful these next names.
Not even the wizardry of Fred Biletnikoff, you bastard name there. Men like Eichheit and Buhler. Buhler, you son of a bitch. I hope I didn't say that lasty word. Forgive me, Mayor Cooper, Mayor Cooper, Mayor Max McCooper. I have sinned before thee and God and everyone.
More quarterback news. I was reading something this morning where DeShone Kizer, the second-round pick for the Cleveland Browns, the front-runner to be the starting quarterback for the Browns this year, who went out and got Brock Osweiler in the offseason for reasons we still don't know, other than just trying to save salary cap money. What Seattle did with Russell Wilson, mid-round draft pick. What Dallas did last year with Dak Prescott, mid-round draft pick. Apparently every team is looking for that guy now, and Cleveland has found theirs in DeShone Kizer. The only difference between Wilson, Prescott, and Kizer is that the first two guys mentioned had successful college careers. DeShone Kizer was benched in his senior year at Notre Dame when a team ranked in the preseason top 20 didn't even make a bowl. Not the same guy.
No matter where the Cowboys travel, there are always friends to greet them. Their players are heroes to the young. They appear on television so often that their faces are as familiar to the public as presidents and movie stars. They are the Dallas Cowboys, America's team.
Speaking of Dak Prescott, the man he replaced in Dallas, Tony Romo, his locker is still there. All his stuff is still in it. Nobody has taken over his locker. It's still there as if he is a player. Huh. It's almost like Dallas is holding out some kind of hope that Tony Romo could actually come back some point this season. And if Dallas loses just two games at some point, I guarantee you the Tony Romo talk will start up again. Because I can promise you this right now. Dak Prescott had a great rookie season. He can't and won't match it this year.
If you look at this play, what we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
We've got an intense battle in Tampa Bay. We've got an intense position battle for a position in Tampa Bay. Head coach Dirk Cutter says it's very intense. One of the most intense battles he's ever seen. And that battle is for the kicking job. Robert Aguayo, the incumbent, using that term very loosely, trying to fend off Nick Folk, who reminds absolutely no one of Jan Stenerud. Those two guys are having an apparently very intense battle to be the kicker for the Buccaneers this season. And in off-season workouts, Nick Folk has been perfect, and Robert Aguayo has been far from perfect. But the only reason Aguayo is still there is because they wasted a second-round draft pick on him last year. So, what do? Do you get the kicker that gives you the better chance to win, or do you keep the kicker that you made a huge mistake on in last year's draft, trying to save face and what little that you still have of your dignity? Nick Folk is a better kicker than Robert Aguayo. If the Bucks are trying to win now, they'll cut Aguayo and keep Nick Folk. But the chances of that happening, very slim. You just watch.
He doesn't swear, smoke, drink, or spit. His favorite beverage is milk. His favorite movie is The Sound of Music. And his middle name is Herbert.
Michael Vick is lobbying to be signed by the Atlanta Falcons for one day so he can officially retire as an Atlanta Falcon. It's funny, I was in Atlanta for 20 years and during the entire Michael Vick era, if you want to call it that, and it's hard to remember that Mike Vick only played with the Falcons for 6 years. It felt like he played a lot longer than 6 years with them. And his career record as a starter, 38-28. And yes, he was the fastest, best running quarterback in the history of the game. And he made plays that absolutely astounded you. But I'm sorry, people in Atlanta are still upset at this guy because he killed many, many dogs. And the ones he was using to fight, he was pumping them with some kind of dog steroids. And that's not me making stuff up. Go look it up. Why do you think he was in jail for as long as he was? He was committing illegal acts to dogs. And there is a certain faction of the population in Atlanta that will never like this guy because of what he did to dogs. And I'm all for forgetting the past. Moving on. The past should be left in the past. Living through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. I get it. But Michael Vick set this franchise back and basically ruined an entire season for the Atlanta Falcons. And it just so happened it was the year Bobby Petrino coached the Falcons, thinking he was going to get to coach Michael Vick, when in reality, he was coaching Joey Harrington. Big difference. So don't look forward to the Falcons signing Vic to this one-day contract so he can retire as a Falcon. Something tells me it'll be a long time before the Falcons as a franchise opens up their arms and embraces Mike Vick, because many of the fans will never do so.
Blank said he asked Petrino if he was committed to the team during a meeting Monday, just before the team's 20-point loss to New Orleans.
His answer was, and shook my hand, you have a head coach.
24 hours later, Petrino quit and boarded a plane to Arkansas.
Memorial Day weekend usually means a hosh-posh of sports you don't usually watch. One of them was the Indy 500. Takuma Sato was the first Asian-born driver to win the Indianapolis 500. And of course, a journalist for the Denver Post said that he wasn't comfortable with the fact that an Asian won the Indy 500 on Memorial Day, and he was immediately fired. Yet again, teaching us another lesson, watch what you put on social media, because everybody's watching.
Have you done, everybody?
No! Hey, Noam, how's the world been treating you?
Like a baby treats a diaper.
Other news, Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod himself, now has a job with ABC News. Boy, Ted Koppel must be shaking his head somewhere. Sam Donaldson in his toupee must be wondering what the heck is going on. A-Rod is with ABC News? Don't worry, he'll be co-hosting Good Morning America before you know it, I'm sure. What kind of reporting is A-Rod going to give us? You think he's going to be going to these White House press conferences asking some hard-hitting questions? Something tells me it'll be a little bit less serious than that. But you talk about a guy who's bounced back. Just a couple of years ago, A-Rod had just been suspended from Major League Baseball for a year and a half for doing steroids, and now he's on the Fox Major League Baseball broadcast, now he's with ABC News, and he's dating Jennifer Lopez. Wow. All is forgiven, A-Rod. I don't know how he did it, but he did it.
I want winners.
Greed is good.
Cash. Cold. That's what I need.
Now with his picks for today's games, the man who's right 52% of the time, Smooth Jimmy Apollo.
Well, I don't know. Denver.
Woohoo! Denver, yeah!
Winning's one of those rare commodities on Earth that money cannot buy until you called me.
All right, it's Mac Daddy's Stogie time. It's a battle of the Sox in Chicago as Boston, 27-23, faces Chicago, 24-26. Chris Sale, quite possibly the best starting pitcher in Major League Baseball right now for the Red Sox, 2.34 ERA, and a major league leading 101 strikeouts. Goes for Boston tonight. Jose Quintana for the White Sox, 4.82. So this is easy, right? We're taking Boston. Look at these starting pitchers. Quintana's ERA is more than double what Sale's ERA is. You'd be a fool to take the White Sox. Not so fast, my friend, as an old codger might say. The White Sox have won four of their last five. They won last night against Boston in Chicago. And Dustin Pedroia for the Red Sox was injured last night. He will officially be out tonight. And this is actually a pretty good spot for the White Sox. At home this year, they're 12-9, 8-5 as a home dog. They're making you a lot of money. Red Sox have lost two in a row. On the road this year, 10-13. And as a road favorite, they're 7-9 on the year. So they're losing you a lot of money. But the real kicker for me is the comparison between starting pitchers. In the last two seasons, Chris Sale and Jose Quintana both played for the Chicago White Sox. So you can't separate them by teams. They were on the same team the last 2 years. In both of those years, Jose Quintana had a better ERA than Chris Sale. 2 years ago, Sale 3.41, Quintana 3.35. Last year, Sale 3.33, Quintana 3.20. Each of the last 2 years, Quintana has been the better pitcher both times. And Quintana against Boston, 7 starts in his career, 3-0, 2.87 ERA. So yes, if you look at the starting pitchers in this game and look at only this year's numbers, Chris Sale is easily the better pick over Jose Quintana. But if you look at history, Quintana is right there with Chris Sale and in some stats, a better pitcher than Chris Sale. And if you look at Chris Sale, let's just look at him. He's a tall guy, but he's very thin. And he has a history of starting out great in April and then tanking by August. Now, are we in August right now? Of course not. But we're a lot closer to August than we were in April when he was dominating the major leagues. The only problem that I see in this game is that Chris Sale will be going back to play his old team. A team that he's not too happy about because, as we all know, he ripped up the throwback jerseys from a few years back because he didn't like them and the White Sox were pissed at him the last 2 years he was in Chicago. But the numbers don't lie. And we always follow the numbers on this show. Give us Quintana at about plus 160. The Red Sox are a huge favorite tonight, minus 170, but only because of starting pitcher name recognition. Give us Quintana plus 160. You probably will get a better price by game time. And the White Sox over the Red Sox tonight as your Mac Daddy Stogie of the night. And make sure you light that bad boy up as David Robertson trots in for the White Sox bullpen to close it out. White Sox over Red Sox tonight. You can take that bad boy to the desert and smoke it.
I'm going to see my lawyer.
Why?
Going to find out if you can sue a show for breach of taste.
And that does it for the Tuesday, May 30th edition of the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. As always, we thank you so much for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Bottom Line Lex. Email anytime, bottomlinelex@gmail.com. And make sure to follow us on Facebook, the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.